Thank the Lord to be here today. Thank you for his blessings to us, his faithfulness to us. I think I'm glad I don't have a God that does a good thing for me once in a while and then takes a break. But I'm glad he's faithful in all situations. That's what makes me depend on him. I think how sometimes, maybe in life, you might come across somebody that you never quite know if they're going to be there for you. Well, it makes it hard to depend on them. I'm thankful our Lord is very dependable, and I thank him for that. Yeah. Let's bow our heads here for a moment. Dear Lord, you know your will today. God, as we open up your word, we don't even have the right words to put on it, Lord. It's your word. It's holy. It's your communications. It's the things that you've said, and it's your business what you do with it in our lives. Dear God, it's not ours. So, Lord, please, by your Holy Spirit, guide and direct in everything that is said and done. Let it be what you see it needs to be, God, we ask. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. So, I want to think today, and I feel like the burden that the Lord's been kind of bringing to my mind is about being touched by Jesus. So I'm going to write that on the board. Being touched by Jesus. Now, there's a lot of reasons why we might need the touch of the Lord, and we can consider all of those this morning, but and maybe we will. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit. But what's so wonderful about being touched by Jesus is the results. The results of the Lord touching our lives are what makes the difference. It's why we learn to depend on him, why we learn to call on him. And there's something more than just words, more than just doctrine, more than just scriptures even. But there's a God who through all these things would touch my life and make a difference in what happens. So I actually would like to ask Whit and Drew and Isaac if they'd come up here and sing a song with me.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and and oh,
I thank you guys for being willing to sing that with us this morning. I know I put you on the spot there, but I feel like this song says a lot about being touched by Jesus. And if life was just what we could make of it, we could have a good life. We can make good choices in a lot of ways, and we could do good things. But there's a whole other element when God touches our life. The song says, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And what were the results? And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. And you see then in the verse how the chorus, as it comes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. That's not an indiscriminate, I don't want to be too specific kind of statement. It's like, I don't really know how he did it. But something happened. And now I know. The one thing I know is that he touched me and made me whole. So I don't really understand anything about how it happened. I can share verses with you and go down, but it came down to a moment where God just touched my life and he changed the situation. It was something beyond being able to really comprehend. But the results are why I'm thankful that he touched me in my life. Thank the Lord for that. You know, it made me think of another song that says, I was bound when I knelt at that old altar, but they said Jesus can meet every need. And when this prisoner finally touched Jesus, does anybody know this song? This is touching Jesus is all that matters. All right. When this prisoner finally touched Jesus, you know what the results were? He set me free. Praise the Lord. Free indeed. They said he can meet my needs. They told me, they laid out scriptures for me. They told me examples of things that had happened. And I, okay, they really believe this, but that's not it yet. That's not it yet. I see scriptures. They say things. And I'm, well, in this situation, that situation. And okay, they really seem to, but we're not quite there yet. Because the moment happened when he touched me. When I touched Jesus, when that connection was made, however it was made, how do we say this? Exactly what happened? Well, there's a connection there that was made. And the Lord changed my situation. You know, it says in that verse, they said he can meet every need. Not just my salvation. Not just changing my life and redeeming me. But every need. Every need supplied. Every moment he provides. Every time I call his name, I know I'll find him just the same. When you're hung out on a limb, the way may seem dark, the way may seem dim. I don't have those, but that's what it says. Don't give up or don't give in, casting all your cares upon him. So it's, maybe that's how we define it. But there's a moment where we go all the way with the Lord, and what is it encapsulated in? What is it that it requires to actually have this connection? Because I cannot physically touch Jesus with my hands. So what is it that enables this to happen in my life? You know, I implore us, it says, to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I implore us that all the scriptures, we want to hold on to them, but this magical, miraculous occurrence that can happen when there's a connection made between us and Jesus, where the electricity from God flows through our life and makes changes, that is a truth we need to never lose sight of. Amen. And hold on to. If we don't have all the connections right, but we maintain that the Lord has a way that he can work in our life and make a difference that's miraculous, that helps us, then we're holding on to what matters in life. What did it say? There would be a people who would have a form of godliness, but they would deny certain doctrines. they would deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Well, they deny this doctrine. Well, they deny this. I'm not saying the truth should be whole, but there's a core thing that when somebody denies the power, the ability of God to touch our lives and change our situation spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever's needed. Ultimately, it's all for our spiritual good. The goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. Believe me because I say it, or just believe me for the work said. Whatever it may be, that we hold to this, that we realize that God is the one who can make the difference in my life. I don't just need his doctrine. I don't just need to know about him. I need him in my life. I need him working in my life. So, you know, there are a few examples that I thought about in the Bible. Let's turn to Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark 5, and this is a story. We're going to pick up in the 25th verse, and there's a story here. There was a man that came from the synagogue who had a daughter that was sick and was dying. And so he said, "Will you come and heal her?" And so Jesus went with him. And we pick up in the, and it says, well, actually, 24th verse, much people followed him and thronged him. There was a whole crowd around him. But in the midst of this, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Don't you see the multitude here? Why are you asking us who touched you?" And he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I just believe that if I could just touch you, if I could get to you, Jesus, and somehow touch the hem of your garment, that I would be made whole. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." You believe that if you just got to me and you touched the hem of my garment, that you would be whole. And that happened and you were. But know this, that it was your faith that allowed this to happen.
Right.
A million other people could come and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And if they didn't have the faith that this woman had, this belief that she needed Jesus, Jesus was the only one that could do this work in her. That whatever he did for her is what she needed. And she came to him with that, and by that she was made whole. You know, we'll look at another story here, but we're already showing what is the key. What is it that makes difference? Is it faith? Is it just a belief that God exists? That's part of faith, but it's not the fullness of faith. It's this determination. I've got to have him. I've got to have him in my life. That's when the difference is made. As long as I'm like, I would like to have him, I would like not to be woke up every night remembering the sins that I have done today, I would like not to do that sin, I would like for this to happen, but we have no desperation, I don't believe we're going to see the power of God in life. But when we get to the point where we're like, "Lord, I have to have you. I need you. If it means crawling through a throng of people to get to you and touch the hem of your garment, then that's what I'm going to do. Because, Lord, I have to have you in my life." Then we can see what it really means to be touched by Jesus. What it really means to have him make a difference. What the power really is. So we can sit all around it for the entirety of our life. And if we never get desperate for the Lord to the point of realizing that if everything else falls away, she had tried everything. If I can get a hold of Jesus, he is what matters in my life. then we can know the joy of being touched by God. And don't confuse this by me saying, then you can get that answer to your prayer that you're wanting. No. Then you can know the joy of being touched by God. Whatever He does and whatever that touch accomplishes in your life, you can know the joy of it. Because now it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what He's doing in my life. Something happened. And I don't really, but something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Because that's really the cry of my heart, is to be whole. It's the cry of your heart this morning. Maybe you realize that, that's really the cry. It's not that I get healed of this thing or that this situation works out right. That's not the cry of your heart this morning. It's the cry of our fleshly minds is what that is. The cry of our heart before the Lord is to be whole. And when we find that, then we begin to learn more and more. It's really not about this. It's not about being healed. It's not about getting this thing or getting that thing I feel like I need so desperately, or this situation working out, or being able to manage. It's about knowing that the Lord touched my life and He made me whole, that He's working for me beyond what I can understand. He's working. Matthew, the 8th chapter. In the 5th verse, this is another story of someone who got what they needed from the Lord. It says, when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I'll come and touch him. But however you think, so many cases, that's what Jesus did. He touched somebody and healed them. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, and come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard this, He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I would love to experience Jesus actually physically touching me and healing me if I in that situation. I read those stories and it's so amazing. But I'm so thankful for this story in the Bible, because this centurion, somebody who did not grow up knowing the scriptures, probably was a lot of it that he just was not familiar with, but he had a respect to the one true God. And he had a respect to what he saw being done through Jesus. And he came to him and said, look, I don't understand everything, but I know that you're not bound by any force on this earth. Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to touch. You don't have to do it this way. You don't have to do it the way I've seen you do it so many times before. You don't have to do it the way one would naturally expect you to do it, Lord. You can do it however you choose to. All it takes is that you speak the word. Yes. And the Lord said, I have found not so great faith, not in all of Israel, in all the places where the stories of God have been told and children have grown up knowing the Bible, and if there's anywhere where it's known, or knowing the Holy Scriptures, if there's anywhere where it's known, it's here. But in all of this, I've not found one so great who understood that it doesn't have to come the way you're expecting. All it has to be is that God decides, yes, this will be done. And he said unto him, in the 13th verse, he said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the very same hour. You know, I was thinking about more of that song, Touching Jesus is All That Matters. And it goes on in the song, of course, it's saying that. And so you're like, okay, well, how do we do that? And it says at one point, there is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. What is belief? Belief is not just knowing that someone can do something. It's committing yourself to their care, to their decision of how they're going to handle this situation. When you climb in a car with somebody and it's going to be a rough ride, I think mom and dad have talked a lot. They had to have a belief in their drivers on those one-lane roads and everywhere, or else they'd have had a hard time getting in that van.
That's true.
So it's not just knowing that they can do it, but it's getting in there, like we said so many times. But with Jesus, there's an element I want to stress this morning of that common theme that we talk about. And that's that committing to His decision about the situation. That's what the centurion kind of did here. It committed to your decision. Lord, not what I might ask you to do. I've asked you for the healing. But the manner, all you have to do is be willing to do it. And it'll happen no matter how you do that. So I'm willing to commit myself to your decision. I don't have to have you come to my house. I don't have to have you come and touch my servant. I just have to have you be willing to hear my prayer and to be moved for me and to work in my life. And then something will happen. Do we have that kind of faith? Because that is what unlocks Jesus touching our lives and in our situation. That what unlocks Him to do His work for us. All right? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And as we're going over there, it made me think of John, the first chapter, the 12th verse. I'm not going to turn there, but that's the verse where he says, you know, some didn't receive Him, but as many received them, gave He power to become the sons of God. The last phrase in that verse says, to them that believe on His name, even to them that believe on His name. Commit myself to His authority is what that phrase means. Not His name is powerful and all that. That's part of committing ourselves to His authority. We have to understand that. But then commit to His authority. Am I willing to do that? Whatever you decide, that's what needs to happen in my life. Not this manner that life is supposed to go. And Lord, You're here to make sure life goes the way it's supposed to. But Lord, make the decisions. Let me put myself in a position where You can make the decisions in my life as to what happens. And I can trust You with that. Yes. Committing myself to His authority. This is where the way is opened up for Jesus to touch our lives and to work through our lives in the manner which He desires to. Hebrews 11. 11 and 33. This is obviously, we know this chapter, most of us, this is the chapter of the Hall of Fame of the faith, those who have had faith. But I want us to look here at 33 and 34 first. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight and fight, turned to flight armies of aliens. Things worked out like they were supposed to. Yes. By faith. Even better than we could have imagined. That's part of what the Lord does in our life when He touches our lives. But here, let's read 35 through 39. Of course, the first one says, women received their dead raised to life again. But now, look at this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So we had this first group that, like, everything worked out the way you would expect, even better than expected. And we have this other group where nothing worked out the way you would expect or desire. And maybe even worse than you would expect. But yet, it says here, and these all, having obtained a good report of faith. Now, this is talking about some other stuff, so there's some other things that go on in that chapter. But the point is, all of these works were done in their life through faith. Not just those things that worked out as expected. Do I want the Lord free to work in my life? Am I willing to take whatever He brings? Because, as it said, in the middle of these that weren't working out the way they expected, it said, and I'm, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I'm not just doing this because it's like what the Bible teaches. I'm doing this because I want what the Lord brings in my life. I want the better resurrection. Do you know which one of us is going to be able to make our souls resurrect and go to heaven? New body? Who can resurrect anybody here? Who could walk out and resurrect somebody? Nobody. That takes a miraculous touch of God. Yes. That's the only way it happens. Do you want it? Do you want that resurrection in your life today? And in death, to have that promise on your life of a resurrection to a better place, to a place we call heaven. We don't all just resurrect there. That's not a natural process in the human body that happens. That takes the Lord touching us. Just like it takes Him touching us right now, if our souls are going to be alive, it takes Him to bring us back from the grave to that new world, that new heavens, that new earth that He's establishing. It does not happen because we went into the grave. It's a miraculous touch of God. So I want that. I don't know about you. I think we all want that. Well, we've got to be willing to not decide what's going to happen in our life, but decide who we're going to allow to have the authority to decide what happens in our life. That's what we have to do. Lord, help us to have the courage, because this is where He can touch our lives. This is where we can see Him working. This is where we can see His power in our lives. And this is part of His plan. Let us not become those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. Oh, I never deny it verbally. But where we deny or confess it is with our lives, and whether we're going to live it by faith or not. You'll make that decision by that. You confess the Lord by your faith, and He will stand right beside you and confess you. But you deny Him, He's going to deny you. This is not, Lord, help us to realize and allow Him to make those decisions, like to take the good or the bad, whatever it seems, the expected or the unexpected, the desired or the not desired. Let it all be that I desire the Lord and I allow Him to decide what happens in my life. That I commit that to Him so that I can experience His miraculous touch. Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke 8 and 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples. What are the expectations when these disciples got in this ship? The expectations are that we will make it safely to the other side. And if we're not careful, that's how we kind of work with the Lord. Okay, we're getting in this ship with the Lord, so we're going to make it safely. And it's going to be not just a beautiful day, it's going to be gorgeous. You know, sometimes the Lord does exactly that. But sometimes the storms come.
Right.
All right? And if we are committed to the Lord and Him allowing Him to make the decisions, then the storms don't really rock us too much, because we're living by faith.
Amen.
And we come through this. It's not that we don't have to commit things, but there's a different level we're living at with the Lord when that's where we are. When we live with expectations of how the Lord's going to do this, and we kind of zone Him into those expectations, then we find ourselves in situations like these disciples here did, with reactions to the situation is what I mean. Not so much the situation, but we find ourselves reacting like the disciples reacted here. All right? It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day, they went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake." Now, sometimes we struggle to say this, but did Peter send the storm of wind? Did John bring the storm of wind? Did one of the Pharisees standing over on the side go, "I just can't stand these people," and send a storm of wind on them? There's only one who has control over the wind, and it's not any of those people. All right? "But they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came unto him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish." Well, okay, you're with the Lord. Why are you in a panic? I'm not saying we don't have to commit stuff. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a reason why Jesus said what he said to them. And it wasn't to condemn them. It was to recognize that there's a better way to live our lives as a Christian. There's something more that we can have. There's a peace that we can have in the midst of the storm that we don't have to react these ways. All right? And so he said, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose, rebuked the wind. And I wonder in his mind, he's going, "Well, I thought they were ready for that." I know he's not confused about what they're ready for. He had a point, but, you know, kind of so to speak, he could be saying, "I thought they were ready for this, but evidently not quite yet." I think the Lord knew right where they were. And it's even why he did it this way. "Then he arose, rebuked the wind, the raging of the water, and they ceased and were calm." So everything's happened. Oh, Lord, help me to bring this out here. I think you probably understand what I'm getting at here. But we could think, okay, there we go. That's what we needed. That's what happened. But no, what happened was there was a little lesson, a little something where Jesus was pointing at something in their life and saying, you can have something better than this. You can have a peace that's more sure than this. Because he turned to them and he said, "Where's your faith?" And, you know, so many times we read this condemnation, but I see Jesus' term going, "Okay, guys, lesson's over. Now I want to ask you, where was your faith right there? Was it everything it should have been?" Really, it wasn't. If you think it was, then I want you to know there's something more you can have. That you can trust Jesus and be at peace in him when things are going as expected or when they're not. That you can know in all the situations you can commit yourself to him and allow him to have the authority, believe in your name, allow him to make the decisions, and then just rest in him and trust him. And when the storms come, well, I like to see that his eyes were open, but there he is right there. I don't know what's fixed to happen. It might be the expected. It might be the unexpected. This might be it, guys. I mean, I don't know. But the Lord's with us. What do I have to fear? Lord's with me. You know, it made me think of this song here, In Christ Alone. And I meant to bring the lyrics up here. I didn't. But the last verse says, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the hope of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, guess what? Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand until he returns or calls me home. Here in the faith of Christ I stand. I'm not sure exactly what word he uses there. No scheme of man, no power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from. Is that what matters to you? Or does it matter more that things work out how they expect it to? What matters? That's what it really comes down to, where we can finally say, you know what, Lord? I'd like for this to happen, but what matters to me is that I'm in your hands. And if that's what happens, then I'm where you can touch me and you can do whatever's needed in my life. Lord, just keep me with you. Keep me in touch with you. Keep me near thee. Blessed Jesus. Lord, carry me in your arms. Walk me home. How many things do we sing songs like that or bring that thought out? But here's where it is. So let's be willing to commit ourselves to the Lord fully, to trust him, whether he decides to do the expected or the unexpected. Whatever it may be in our life, let's trust him, because touching Jesus is all that matters. You pray for me.